The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I don't know why I feel super tired. Yesterday, I couldn't do the show. I was feeling too tired. Maybe it's the winter. The cool part of the winter has arrived, where my house is surrounded by snow. There's been snow today that's been accumulating. The car is completely shoveled in snow. That's a nice part of the winter. Perhaps it is a natural reaction of the Quebecois to be going tired and sleeping all day and staying in bed. But that is a good feeling when you are under the warmth of natural gas. And I'm suspecting maybe also my fatigue may be due to the fact that I ate a slice of this. Of this dry aged strip line. For those who are subscribers to my X account, you've seen the pictures. I decided that I had to slice apart just one slice at the border because it had dried too quick and the center was getting trapped into a crust, and I didn't want this. So just by slicing a little slice at the border, it lets the rest of the center to lose its humidity. The pictures are available under the subs tab of my Twitter account. And it also gives the advantage that I had a taste of it at 8 or 9 days drying. Very good, very good. I like what I see. It's still due for some more drying, so I don't experience the full effect, but it's definitely more meaty, more dry, more chewy, more tough meat. And really, the taste that meat should have, really, that's what it tasted like. But I don't know, maybe I cooked it too raw, and maybe it's not recommended when you dry age it to eat it so raw. Maybe next time I will cook it a little more. Maybe dry age meat is due for being cooked a little more. Maybe that's why I'm feeling tired. And yeah, the events of the day yesterday are kind of discouraging. I mean, it's not dramatic, but it could be dramatic in the future. Here's the problem. Trump has been appearing with Benjamin Netanyahu. And then we saw what I was suspecting was to be the case. The beginning of the Trump presidency was way too good. And I was like, someone who works to be that good, it's actually suspicious. I was suspecting... No, Blankets, it's not that I didn't like the meat. The meat was awesome. But I'm questioning, am I tired because I got hit by some light food indigestion? I don't know. The meat was awesome. It didn't look rotten at all. So I'm super satisfied with the ongoing of the experiment. But, so yeah, concerning Trump, it was way too good, and I was like, someone who starts that hard, that good, has something to prove because he wants to pass something under the carpet. So what is it gonna be? What is the price to pay? Because clearly it seems that in the last few years, the developments are that the Jews have decided that you're gonna have an America where you can shut down the woke, but you won't be able to shut down the dependency of America onto the Jewish international coalition, basically. And from this, a new right was created, a right wing that is not anti-Israel, that is not anti-Zionist, that is not against forever war. And Trump has been the kind of godfather of this deal. This deal is you get to combat the woke. We will combat the woke within America. We will stop this reproductive war, basically, that tries to pick up children from white middle class and put them into the LGBT lifestyle so they're unreproductive. But you're going to have to continue in the path of maniacal Zionism. And in fact, you're going to have to do it more even than what was done before. So that is the dirty deal in which we are. And I knew we were in it. That's why I was celebrating the goodness of the Trump beginnings. But I knew something was coming. Now, what is that something? It's that Trump is slowly trying to prepare America for a forever war that will cost a lot, that will not be in our advantage, and that will happen in the Middle East. Now, if that doesn't happen, if Trump is bullshitting, if Trump is playing leverage here, then good, perfect. Because who cares about what happens to the Gazans, really? I don't. There is a lot of things in what Trump said yesterday that, to me, don't seem like he's only playing 6D chess with Benjamin Netanyahu here. It seems that he is enslaving America to Israeli interests, and he's trying to do so by reframing the issue of Gaza as an American one. So I'm kind of fine. If Israel is just bombing Gaza and bombing Gaza, it's like, okay, it sucks from a human rights perspective. And I will highlight those human rights violations, but it's when Israel does so with American money, that becomes a taxpayer issue. When Israel tries to convince America to do stuff through its media, and we find out that these media we found out today, a lot of the left is funded by USAID. So USAID is supposed to be foreign intervention, but USAID says, Politico is charging subscription fees to users, but black people can't purchase subscriptions. So here we're going to throw this money at black people. We're going to throw this money at whoever and say, this is the funding to help people have access to the media. But of course, they don't throw money at black people so they can super chat Papa JF. They throw money at black people, so they go subscribe to the left's favorite outlets, and the money just qualifies for this. So in the end, what you've just done, you created an unneeded media that is not demanded by the free market, and you funded it in full by the state. And we've learned it's to the point where employees on the payroll of Politico, They stopped receiving their salaries. Elon Musk pressed a button saying, hey, there's a waste of money here. Let's shut this down. He presses a button, seeing that there's some waste of money going on, and poof, some journalists start complaining on social media. Hey, where's my salary? Oh, well, that is not supposed to happen. The government shuts down some wasteful money flow, and we find out that it was all going into the pockets of these leftist journalists. So when they write articles that no one wants to read, that are pro-trans, pro-LGBT, that complain against JF, perhaps even some of the hit piece against me, end up being funded by a dark network of money that ultimately stems out of the US government. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This should not happen. But I was finding it weird when I saw that many outlets like the New York Times were going for subscriptions. I was like, who's going to pay for this? This is crap. Who's going to pay for a political subscription? Are you fucking kidding me? But it turns out it's all a scam. They don't really care about you not wanting to pay for the subscription in an environment of free media, really, because we have so many people willing to talk publicly. And even I, with a French accent and, you know, a kind of autistic set of interests that shouldn't be very popular, even I succeed at surviving out of the free market. out of really just a bunch of people like you guys sending me some super chats and Patreon money, I end up surviving like this. But the left can't survive like this. The left needs their paybacks through USAID. And so you're going to see a lot of media being almost accidentally disabled by the Elon Musk crusade against waste. Lendald Guntram says, the biggest Zionist is Rudy Giuliani. No kidding, like by an order of magnitude when compared to Trump, Bibi is the best of the best we could have ever run into. Paraphrasing. Okay, so he said that about Bibi Netanyahu. Yeah, so this whole Trump yesterday frames the issue of Gaza as an American one when he says, I see a position of ownership for America. Now, this, we should own Gaza. Of course, this triggers the liberals. This leads people in a confusion. This leads people to speculate, well, maybe he's doing this to protect Gaza from Bibi Netanyahu. As long as Trump says, I own this, Bibi Netanyahu cannot crack down into it. And it's all, we are thrown into a PSYOP rule, really. And I feel the PSYOP rising on the internet. When I look at the comments, the people replying to my tweets about it, they start talking about, oh, well, just the oil. Just the oil, JF, of Gaza is worth like $5 trillion. Don't you think that we can afford and link these 2 million Palestinians? Those are talking points from the Bush era that are re-emerging into a very confusing public space that was intentionally put in a state of confusion by Donald Trump yesterday. Because who knows what he wants to do with this. But as I was pointing out on Twitter, 2 million human beings in 2025 deported against their will. There are events of history that constitute like the Acadian deportation from Canada to Louisiana was like applying to something like 2,000 people. 2,000 people. And it's an event that we still learn in history books. And don't quote me on the number, but it's a very small number. Deporting against their will a population embedded in terrorism, in Islamic terrorism, 2 million people against their will in the age of cameras, it's almost unfeasible. It's going to be 20 years of work, and it includes fighting on the ground, it includes boots on the ground, military to control these flows of population as you carry them, each of them, against their will. And the thing with Muslims is that they are martyrs. They are warriors and martyrs. They are willing to die in place just to form the next body mashed up by a rocket for the next campaign of victimization of their people. So they're willing to die in place just to show how much they were attached to that land. So, and on top of it, even if you were to have the beginning of a deportation operation, there will be pockets of terrorism that will develop. There will be support thrown into Gaza to push back on the IDF, and there will be local resistance. So you are basically engaged still in a war that you weren't able to win in Afghanistan, you weren't able to win in Iraq, you won against the regime, but you never won against a bunch of subterranean bomb makers, Muslim bomb makers. That is the hard thing. The hard thing is when you're down to that civilian, non-resisting population, and it's like, oh yeah, there are terrorists in there, but you're never going to catch them. You have no mechanism, and they're going to be silent for a year or two, and eventually they re-emerge and they reorganize. So it's, John Drake says, more like 15,000, Jeff. Okay, maybe the Acadian deportation may have been 15,000, but I knew it was not in the million, definitely not in the million. Now, when you talk about deporting 2 million people, so what is Trump doing here? On top of it, suppose that Trump was serious about this. 2 million people must be deported somewhere. That somewhere will be an already established kingdom of sorts. Saudi Arabia, Iran. It's going to have to be done basically against the will of the local people. Because there is not a leader of a nation, even Arab ones, even Muslim ones, that will welcome a troublesome, humanitarianly needy population that Gaza is. No one wants to handle that problem. There's no amount of money that will allow you to handle the liability of diluting your own local power into a totally new population that will need new cities, that will mess up your existing cities. So I don't know that there's a way to do this without war itself. And so as I was pointing out in my tweet, this very suggestion to solve the Gaza problem implies directly a new Middle Eastern war. Trump is talking about what in 6 months from now, in 1 year from now, will be an offensive war against another nation to force them to welcome the Gaza people. And now you're opening the can of worm of which nation will that be? What will Russia do? What will China do? Etc. And we are in another forever war. We didn't come close to changing Afghan society. We didn't come close to changing Iraqi society. Now you're going to do this with Iran, and you're going to not only try to do a regime change war of some sort, but also conquer an entire territory to make space for the Gazans. That doesn't make sense to me. It seems that Trump is deluded, that he's pursuing a delusional project only for showing support to the Jews. Legion of Boom says, I think Trump is much smarter than that. I believe people fail to see that Trump's goal by making this provocative proposal was to somewhat freeze the situation. He is well aware there is no solution, but by intervening in this way, he forces the Arab countries, the Palestinians, and the Israelis, and then his message cut. So I missed the last part of your message, but maybe you will post it later. We had a series of super chat by all during the night on Entropy. Thank you so much for the support. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat or use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. This super chat came from Entropy. He says, hey, Jeff. Ever since I was a kid, I never enjoyed living. The tediousness of the daily life was never worth the very rare moments of joy. Everything is so fleeting and nothing ever feels real. I had a nice middle-class childhood, yet death and suicide are concepts that are often in my mind just as a neutral feeling. I really struggle to empathize with people's attachment to life. It feels like my genes don't want to be alive, like they want to be sacrificed for something or someone greater. Could have they been selected for an early reproduction and then die young in war? Or maybe they were selected to acquire as many resources as possible and then transfer them all at once to a sibling and their children to improve their fitness, then just die off? Well, your feelings there all are not rare for a male. So those are basic feelings, basic ways of life for most males. So it is not dramatic that you feel that way. Now, you need to get yourself out of this bottom, and there's no other way. You're not going to find life enjoyable ever, but you have to start reveling in the swamp that life is. You have to start saying a little bit like a soldier that would be sent to the sewers, and he has to do this super terrible exercise where He's gonna be swimming in shit in the sewer, holding his breath for 1 minute to survive. He's gonna come out full muddy, full of sewers when he comes out of the pipe, and he has to carry a gun through the small space. This is what life feels like, and it will be that way. But you have to say, this is the game. This is the game, and I want to play it. And if you don't get into that mood of, doesn't matter that it's tough, doesn't matter that it sucks, doesn't matter that it doesn't matter, really, I will act as if it matters. And then what you need to do is give a sense to your life by having children. Because, of course, if you don't have children, then the bottom of your feelings that you're in right now will be, it will all, that's all it will be. Now, if you have children, you understand that you were the necessary part of a chain to continue life against its absurdity, in revolt against its absurdity. So perhaps philosophically, where you're at is Albert Camus, The Myth of Sisyphus. It's the question of, okay, the universe is absurd. That is certain. Is that a good reason to commit suicide? That is the question of the myth of Sisyphus. And the answer that Albert Camus finds is that revolt is a rational solution to this problem. You can say, not only is the universe absurd, but to eliminate myself, to eliminate the only thing in that universe which can look at it. Yes, Sisyphus in English. Sisyphus. Given that my brain is the only thing in the universe that can witness this absurdity, really, by killing myself, I would be doing a favor to the absurd universe. I would let it continue its absurdity without contest, without opposition, without a drive against. And so Albert Camus concludes, I should not commit suicide because I need to be there as a witness of life's absurdity. And I need to pursue life in a revolted fashion against this absurdity. I need to stand as the rational, odd thing in the universe. Shady Jesus says, yeah, Bernard is right, but JF's pronunciation makes me chuckle more. Well, in French, it's le mythe de Sisyphe. Le mythe de Sisyphe. So be a revolted person, Al. Don't let the absurdity of the universe depress you. To the contrary, use it as a fuel to say, I am the only thing standing against this absurdity. Think about it this way. The rocks, the meteorites, the volcanoes, the planets, the sun, everything. Everything. The lizards, the frogs, the mushrooms, everything out there doesn't give a shit about the absurdity of the universe. You do. You are the only thing that stands in contradiction. You are the only thing that's even capable of seeing it. So imagine there was this big... imagine you open a box. You open a box, and inside that box, there's a play. There's a theater play going on. There's a whole story. There are little people playing a little game, and you're like, this is fucking absurd. How are there miniature people playing a miniature play in that box? The choice of suicide is nothing else than to close the box, to say, okay, I'm just going to disappear and no one will ever know what's in that box. To the contrary, you need to keep that box open, and that box is the universe, basically. Your brain is in awe in front of the apparent nihilism of the universe, but precisely, do not destroy the only thing that hates this nihilism, the only thing that sees what's wrong with it. The only thing that's so empathic that looks at the neutrality of the rocks and says, what the fuck is wrong with this thing that existence is? Bernard says you have to find enjoyable and creative ways to kill yourself. No, Bernard, I am deleting this. It is really not a good thing to write on the internet. Keith Wood says, in the past day, there was a massive bandwave of Australian nationalists, including Joel Davis. Our friend Joel Davis is gone. It's really too bad because Elon Musk comes with a promise of free speech, but then he invites laws to be enacted against free thinkers because he says, if you make a law that makes these thinkers illegal, we're going to ban them. I would have liked to see America be a liberating force. But right now, America is saying, well, if your local government hates you, we're going to take you out. Joel Davis, Thomas Sewell, Blair Cottrell, so the whole Australian bunch of edgy thinkers are gone from X. X is just, as Nick Fuentes described it, they are speedrunning the cycle of censorship. That is exactly what we were seeing in 2016. It starts with specific countries, specific people, and then slowly we will end up with the center right, the Charlie Kirk being the extremist of X. That is what we will end up with. And the whole thing with Trump project for Gaza, it puts other countries on the offensive because now Jordan is ready to declare war on Israel in the event that Netanyahu attempts to forcibly expel Palestinians into its territory. So there's no country that wants the Palestinian problem to be imported into their own territory. And it's kind of delusional to think, well, they're Muslims, they should take them. No. No, Muslims are very, very habituated to fratricide wars. The reason the Middle East is the way it is basically a bunch of Muslims fighting against other Arabs and other Muslims. That is basically what the Middle East has been. And Islam is a religion of conquest. And so it's a religion that is fit for forever wars, forever replacement, sometimes by a more extremist force, sometimes by less extremist forces. Why did the U.S. aid give $68 million to the World Economic Forum? Thanks to the Doge investigation, we are seeing more and more where that money was going. And holy shit, it's the American government funding these entities. So it's, they don't even gain their power from legitimate need. It's really stealing people's money to send it to these non-governmental organizations that plague everyone's life through, well, whether it's World Health with the vaccine or whether it's one or whether it's these political hit piece web places or these blogs against hate and for LGBT. It's all state-funded. Slash this down. Uber Boyo is asking for transparency. Can we have a transparency on the banning of Australian and British nationalists? Example today, Joel Davis. Well, it's very clear that what you have is a government request here. A government request to, they said, these people are illegal. So you have white people being declared illegal in their own countries. And we have Elon Musk's Twitter complying with these demands. That is what's most alarming. We have a deported Ukrainian here.
This is who you waited for. This is who you waited for. Look, you're proud.
Yes, we're proud.
I came here legally. I've been paying taxes. Now I need to come back to war in my country to...
Well, yeah. So maybe you would be incentivized at making the proper decisions in leadership and military domains if you couldn't escape your country at all times. Now, I don't know what she's saying. She's saying, I came here legally. Now I have to go back to war. Well, okay, you came here legally, but you're not legal anymore. If you're getting deported to Ukraine, it means that you were illegal at this moment. Maybe you entered legally, but now your stay has expired. So now you go back to the bombs and you start to find a solution for your own people.
Bombs every day minding you. I'm gonna leave my dogs here. I cannot take them. This is...
Okay, we keep the dogs.
Who you waited for?
This is who you waited for.
My dad is gonna stay here. They gonna separate our family. This is who you fucking waited. Are you proud of it? Illegally people only? Bad people only? Not flash.
Well, she doesn't. Why? Why are you being deported? Clearly, they must have... What is the reason that they gave? She's not saying it, but... Did you steal something? Did you violate a condition of your stay? Nose flash. Oh, she meant news flash. I wasn't even understanding what she was saying. There was a shooting in Sweden. Shooting yesterday in Sweden. Very little information coming out because in Europe, the media is basically not free to talk about the details of such cases, but a shooting that has killed more than 10 people, it would seem, and has injured many more. We need to start nuking this asteroid that's coming because there is an asteroid coming to potentially hit the Earth in 2032. It has a 1.9% chance. It's a very large asteroid, more than 100 feet and up to 300 feet of length. That is a potentially Earth-destroying asteroid at this size. So definitely, I recommend to Elon Musk. That's why I added Elon Musk here. We need to start nuking it right now if we want to have some margin for mission failures and unpredictable stuff. Because if we send something to it right now, it might take 2 years, 3 years to get to it. Then we send something next year, it might take 2 years to get to it, something. So we have to start thinking in terms of, I'm going to send about 7 nukes in the way of this asteroid. Or we can use the new technology of NASA, you know, that they demonstrated that they can land onto an asteroid and cause an impact that will change the direction of the asteroid. However, at 100 feet diameter, this is a very large asteroid. So I suspect that the amount of explosive we used in the past test will not be enough. I think you're going to need some nukes. So nuke it to push it slowly away from the Earth's direction. Longmon says, just needs a tiny nudge. Exactly. If you make the nudge early, then if you change the angle by just a little bit, it's going to have large impacts down the line in 2032. We need to start defending ourselves against these asteroids. Shady Jesus says, do nukes even work in space? Well, in the movie Armageddon with Will Smith, it was working. But you need a team. You need a team. You need one welder. That's the best welder in the world. You need one forer for digging holes. And you need one woman and one black man. If you can regroup that team, you can drill that nuke into the asteroid and and it creates a bigger smash. A Bruce Willis. Did I say Will Smith? No, Bruce Willis. Did I say Will Smith? Or did I say Will Willis? Yeah, Bruce Willis. Ty Rogerson says, no, nukes don't even work, but they do work in space. Oh, yeah, there are people who still don't believe in nukes. So do they believe in that nukes work in space, or do they work nowhere? Nicolas Ferrantes is asking, so are we just speedrunning the life cycle of Twitter all over again? Free speech platform, Trump elected, far-right purge, two-tiered verification system, you are here. Shadow banning, editorial censorship. We're seeing the exact same thing happen, which is, yes, the left hates us, and yes, the left eventually uses censorship to its advantage, but the censorship largely stems from a bunch of center-right people who want to make their political speech the exclusive political speech of the right. And that is exactly the cycle we've been through. It's people who want to abolish the far-right because they think that the far-right is not legitimate. We are the only voice of the right. And it's very much in line with what Elon Musk said. He said we need to completely ban these racists from the Republican Party. And so we have here a replacement. We have a cartel developing for speech. Blanket says, Jeff, would you ever do a show with Elon? Absolutely, of course. You can't refuse a show with Elon. Elon can ask to any Tucker Carlson, any media that Elon says, I want to do an interview, they will have to say yes. That would be just counter. That would be irrational to refuse an Elon Musk interview. Elon can show wherever he wants, and he should be accepted. Israeli PM Netanyahu gave Trump a golden pager during the White House meeting. This shows you this creepy relationship first, because these pagers, this whole pager mission that Netanyahu had planned was to feed the Palestinians or the Lebanese, I think, was it in Lebanon? Feed the so-called Hezbollah chain of supply had ordered some pagers, and these pagers were stuffed with explosives by the Israelis, and they made them explode once they had been distributed into Lebanese society. Now, we are supposed to believe that this was a fine targeting of terrorists. But how do you know that these... I saw some of the videos of these pagers. They were literally blowing up in repair shops. And two children died, says DK Shadow. So you just don't know. You're just blowing stuff up. You're going to make some argument that it's Hezbollah. Well, it was Hezbollah. Well, maybe these pagers ended up making it into regular society. How many civilians have you killed with it? You don't even know. So this is a dirty play, but the Jews are so, they're proud of this. And I'm supposed to believe that in the Middle Ages, when a bunch of Christian villages were expelling Jews, and in the 1600s, and they were like, yeah, these Jews are poisoning our well. I'm supposed to believe that this was all false. There was a social psychosis that just developed where people, they were just anti-Semites. But then in 2025, I see them just stuffing pagers with poison, literally poisoning the well of pagers. And they're so proud of it. That they made a golden pager that they gave to Trump. But this is so creepy because it kind of means, oh yeah, we hold you by the balls, Trump. It's kind of a a message that means, you know, we could blow you up anytime. You know, we could get you killed. And Trump is, I don't know what Trump is doing, but he said that he had instructed his people, he had instructed the government to go on into a war of obliterating Iran if he ever got killed. Now, that is kind of ridiculous. Because it is known that, you know, Israel is capable of false flags, and they will make false flags to justify wars. They will get you into a war by making it like there was an attack that didn't actually happen. Now, if Trump is saying, the moment I die by assassination, the US government will instantly carpet bomb Iran, Trump is creating the incentive for Israel to assassinate Trump. And all they have to do is make sure that there's a little Iranian passport that's dropped on the scene of the killing. Maybe take an American artist and kind of make sure that he's kind of tanned and looks kind of Muslim, and just give him an Iranian passport. Make sure that maybe he speaks Iranian or that he has some Muslim history, and boom, you got your free carpet bombing of your hated neighbor if you're Israel. It's not very intelligent of Trump to be doing this. Now, we also have some good stuff coming from Trump this morning. Trump officially banned biological males from competing in women's sports. We will not allow men to beat up, injure, or cheat our women and our girls. From now on, women's sport will be only for women. Well, that's beautiful. And it's so powerful. When the US makes a choice like this, down the line, perhaps all of the countries will have to adapt. Like, there was a journalist asking, what if there are some people who revolt? What if in some states they keep doing this? Well, when at the level of the federal government of the US, you have a decision like this, maybe you're going to get a local competition in some leftist state that doesn't respect it. But at some point, the competition will become federal or international, and at this point, they will be barred. So it's like, okay, destroy your own state if you want, but we won't let you rise to the top in the system. So very often, just a decision of Trump like this will change even the way private corporations handle DEI and that kind of stuff. Oh yeah, this is just hilarious. There's a black woman from New York, and she ended up in Pakistan. She was going to meet and marry a 19-year-old guy, presumably. So the guy was like, oh, I got this black woman from New York. She's going to come and marry me. Now, the parents of the guy see, holy shit, it's a black woman with a veil. And they're like, my dear Pakistani boy, you're not marrying this black woman. Now, I don't know exactly how this happens, but she ends up in press conferences and she's being kicked out of Pakistan because now she doesn't have a husband. And now she demands $100,000 from the Pakistani government to rebuild their society. And I'm like, isn't it beautiful? The black woman thinks that the whole world is like this, but that's because she comes from a white society. The sad thing is that in a white society, we gave these people hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of subsidies, of welfare, of help. She's so trained on this as a black woman from New York that she cannot conceive that Pakistani society is not going to give you $100,000.
Saying he talked too much. That's it.
Yes, that's it.
Yes, yes, I'm saying. Yeah, but I can't believe that
I'm saying. Listen! You yes. talk too much. What's your plan now?
It's not. Come here, please come here. Listen. Come. Please.
Be quiet. I'm not sitting down. My plan is to reconstruct this whole country, okay? I'm asking for 100K or more. I need 20K by this week, okay? In my pockets, in cash, okay? That's a demand to the government. The government is going to fix up these buildings, fix up the streets, and clean up these streets. It's ridiculous out here. I do not like it.
The fact is, we've elevated this to our politicians. I mean, you go into a local city that's in a leftist area and that has a downtown, you're going to have people like this become councillors. They become council members. They get voted in. So she's just reproducing the behavior that would be fit in New York, but she's doing it in Pakistan.
Okay, I would love for you guys to please understand that Pakistan is in need of new buses, new cabs, new cars. Please listen to what I'm saying. My name is Onaija Ahmed. Please understand. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Listen, I hope he's saying the right things, okay? Like I said, Pakistan needs to be reconstructed the right way. Do you hear me, guys? Make sure y'all get this on your camera. I'm married to Nidel Hamid. I'm Onaija Hamid. We are moving to Dubai very soon. We're going to have our baby in Dubai.
Oh, no. He did the whole scam of, oh yeah, I have money, lady. I'm gonna get us to Dubai, no problem. We just marry now. I'm gonna bring you to Dubai. I just need a little more time on the markets. I just need to win a little bit more on that short, and we're gonna be okay. I'm gonna bring you to Dubai.
It's private. I'm Muslim, and it's against my religion to tell y'all my business. Have a nice day. I'm not talking unless y'all giving me land and 2,000 or more every week. You hear me?
This is not gonna fly in Pakistan. When is she getting roasted as a witch or whatever it is that Pakistanis do?
Yeah. I'm getting my Pakistani passport and Pakistani ID. I'm getting it. Do y'all agree? Mind your business. What? Talk.
She doesn't even speak the language. She's just demanding stuff. It's quite hilarious. It took me a while before I watched the clip because it's been out there for a couple of days passing on my timeline. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I don't want to listen to a black woman, but it turns out hilarious. It turns out that she is really just deluded out there in Pakistan and just continuing her demands. MicroStrategy has changed name. The Michael Saylor company has renamed from MicroStrategy to Strategy. I think it's a brilliant move, very fresh. Because MicroStrategy, I mean, this reflected back in the days when computers were starting to be used in a global fashion. MicroStrategy was like micro, like computer-based. We make a strategy for your company that is micro-processed in a micro-CPU. And microprocessors, Ty Rogerson, but it's a very outdated term. We think of microprocessors, we don't say this, we say a CPU, that's it, a GPU, a CPU. So micro is kind of 90s with the word, and at the same time, it's MicroStrategy is not anymore a company that wants to micro-strategize with you. It's not a company of Excel sheets that will tell you how many employees do you need to sell that many burgers per day. That's what they used to do, but now they change into just a Bitcoin accumulator. And it feels very natural to change to strategy. And there's a little B exponent here. So strategy, Bitcoin, basically. The only strategy worth pursuing in the view of Michael Saylor. Absolutely beautiful move by Pam Bondi. She has just taken over the Department of Justice as Attorney General. And she is cutting the funding to sanctuary cities.
These criminals made one very big mistake. They wound up in Polk County.
Well, the noise, the sound is kind of muffled, but absolutely beautiful move. On her first day leading the Justice Department, including orders to combat the weaponization of the legal system, make prosecutors seek the death penalty when appropriate, and work with the Department of Homeland Security to completely eliminate cartels and transnational criminal organization, also directing the DOJ to identify all funding agreements with NGOs that support illegals, and a pause to all federal funding for sanctuary cities. Absolutely good move. There's an excellent Tucker Carlson interview with a Saudi prince, Prince Al-Walid bin Talal. I didn't know this guy, but it's the guy that keeps investing in these media. But you often hear about a Saudi prince that has invested in Fox News and X with Elon Musk. It's him. And I had never heard directly from him. And this whole 1 hour interview by Tucker is very interesting because you get to understand him as a human, and he's a very connected man. I didn't imagine this. You hear of a prince, of a Saudi prince investing in some media, and you're like, what is he trying to do? But he seems just like a guy enthusiastic about media and how American society has grows and changes, and how X is replacing, independent creators are replacing the big corporate movers. I think he's great. He sounds very rational. He talks with Tucker about what happened to the West, this whole woke movement. And very interesting to put a human face to someone who I've heard about before. Shrug Mamel says, I'm not trying to get my hopes up, but this is the best woman I've ever dated so far, and it's not like the marriage prostitution of Southeast Asia. You hardly see any foreigners with women here, unlike the Philippines. Well, yeah, the way you talk about your relationship, Shrug Mamel, she seems like the right one. Shrug Mamel has found an Asian with whom he is bonded, and they seem to... The only problem with her is she insists on waiting for reproductive sex, but... as I said to Shrug Mamel, as long as you have a timetable and it's a realistic timetable that you're willing to accept, then it's normal for some women who are more serious in relationships to ask for non-immediate insemination. And sometimes in certain contexts, you may accept. But yeah, those are very good signs. The fact that she seems attached to Shrug Mamel, she hasn't had many boyfriends. She's not like whoring out on Instagram or whatever. She seems to be truly willing for a marriage relationship with Shrug Mamel. So good luck with it. It's more investment. It's more time before you get to insemination, but so be it. Blanket says, JF, so do you think Tulsi, so you think Tulsi is a good pick? Well, yeah, Tulsi Gabbard seems to be, to an extent, willing to clean up the weaponization of the federal forces, and willing to realign the FBI onto a path of truth-seeking and actually enforcing the law. So, yes, I think she's a good pick. I mean... may not be as extremist as I would want to, but almost no one is as extremist as I would want to. What else do we have? The biggest scandal in news media history, I was alluding to it earlier. No employee at Politico got paid yesterday. First time ever the company missed a pay period. This is a crisis. Now we learn Politico, a news company, which spent the last 10 years trying to destroy the MAGA movement, was being massively funded by USAID. Trump and Elon deleted their funding. So they're getting $8.2 million to give free subscription to whatever, black people or people who claimed not to have enough money to get the subscription. So they end up basically creating a fake market for their own news, funded by government entities. Absolutely disgusting. Because this is not even fair. And on top of it, it's the kind of news outlet that combats the far right, that combats the commentariat to their right, that combats the MAGA movement. So they're really taking side. They're taking side with government money. Absolutely scandalous. What else do we have before we close the show? We have a crisis in a Pizza Hut. Let's have a look.
Is it coming? Yeah, it's coming. We gotta call the police.
Oh, well, he seems to have been neutralized.
Take my number down. I'll send it.
Spontaneous neutralization. Okay. I'm looking through. I had so many windows open today because I had accumulated some from yesterday. Oh, yeah, this is a nice thought to finish the show on. Elon Musk is ultimately... did he eat the stuffed crust? Yeah, the Pizza Hut stuffed crust is very, very cheesy. Surprisingly cheesy. So perhaps that's what happened here because... And it's very fatty. It's like buttery. It really puts this fatty aspect to the crust that you just don't expect. Perhaps this is what just happened. But we are in a path of flight from Elon Musk, and society has been impacted strongly by this. We now have an Elon Musk basically turning buttons off in the federal government. Elon Musk is on a path of vengeance because his son was transed against his will, turned into a non-reproductive entity. Elon is on a path of vengeance because he was in California and they kept his workers from going to work because of COVID. So people are reminding themselves of this May 10, 2020 tweet that was saying fuck Elon Musk, probably as part of the whole leftist being pissed off at Elon Musk for speaking against the COVID shutdown or whatever. And Elon Musk had responded, message received. That was 5 years ago. Message received, fuck Elon Musk. And eventually he left these Democrat places. And he's currently creating a renaissance. Even Mark Zuckerberg has de-incorporated in Delaware and is headed to Texas. So we have here big, big, big players following on the lead of Elon Musk and saying, look, we can't take the legal risk of living among these Democrat judges. They are fucking insane and they cut business out for no reason and they have all these health requirements and we're just going to be better being incorporated in Texas. And so someone was saying Elon was happily tinkering with his rockets and electric cars in Democrat-controlled California. Then they tried to stop him from working during COVID. and now he's dismantling the entire deep state as a side hustle. As a single tweet ever backfired so hard. I think this analysis is correct. We basically a bunch of leftists, just like they did in my life, leftists that have made it impossible for me to continue raising a family in their places. And so, all right, you don't like me, you don't like my Bitcoin, you don't like that I go spend a Bitcoin, some Bitcoins to take a Tim Hortons coffee in the morning. Okay, you're not going to get that payment anymore. I'm going to disappear from your society. I'm going to take all my businesses with me, my family members, my Bitcoins, my loved ones, and we don't exist in your state anymore. The left destroys itself. Lendald Guntram says leftists eventually destroy everything. Well, that's the question. Will they eventually destroy everything or just themselves?